Welcome back to our Hilchos Shabbos Halacha series, which we haven't done. I actually looked through my notes and I saw that the last time we did Hilchos Shabbos was in February, because we did a Halacha Shir on Parshas Zachar, a Halacha Shir on Purim, two Halacha Shirim for Pesach, and then there was Pesach, and then after Pesach we didn't have, and last week was Pirkei Avos, so it's been a little while, so welcome back. I wanted to begin a brand new Malacha, and that's the Malacha of Lush. And we will talk about what Lush is, and hopefully also what it isn't, and of course lots of scenarios that come up in real life, both in the kitchen and outside the kitchen. And before we find out what the halachas of Lush are, we always like to, whenever we start a malacha, we like to figure out what the source, the historical source in the Mishkan, was of each malacha. And we have something interesting specifically by Lush that we've had only twice before in all the malachas that we've done, and that's the following. If I had to ask you where, let's, Lush, just before we talk about where it was in the Mishkan, Lush is kneading with a K. Kneading, you know, like kneading challah, kneading dough, making dough. So where was their kneading that took place in the Mishkan? What would you say? The challah, the what? Sedur de pas, getting the bread ready. That's challah, matzah, etc., etc. Now, some of you might remember that when we started Bishul a year ago, maybe it was even 2 years ago, we pointed out a very fundamental machlokas. The very fundamental machlokas was, where is Bishul? Bishul and Ofa are the same malacha. Where was Bishul / Ofa in the Mishkan? So at that point, a year or two ago, you might have said, hey, when we bake the challahs and the matzahs the same way that Lush is for baking the challahs and the matzahs in the Mishkan. When we learned Bishul, we found out that that was actually a very fundamental machlokas, whether or not the 39 malachas are only the 39 malachas that are used in the, or are they the 39 malachas that are used in the, who could fill in those blanks? Are they the 39 malachas that are used in the construction of the Mishkan, or in the day-to-day applications and administration, the day-to-day karbanos of the Mishkan? And we saw that, thank you very much for the water, we saw that the Rashi's opinion throughout all of the different malachas is that the 39 malachas have to be used in the construction of the Mishkan. And therefore, there was no bread. It wasn't a gingerbread house. What's that? A gingerbread house? Gingerbread man. Also a gingerbread house. The gingerbread man lived in a gingerbread house? Or am I mixing up? Okay, fine, good. Fine. Maybe Kias isn't the best. So we have a gingerbread house. And other than that, we don't have so many houses made out of bread and matzah. Certainly not the Mishkan. And therefore, there was no dough in the sense of bread or challah or matzah dough in the construction of the Mishkan. So where, if Rashi holds that cooking or baking is in the Mishkan, where was it? It wasn't in the preparation of the breads, because that's not in the construction of the Mishkan, but rather we learned that Bishul was in the boiling of the dyes for the Tcheles Agamon Tolas Shani, all the fabrics that were used in the construction, the parochases, etc. Similarly, we saw in another one of the malachos, by Tochein, which is grinding, which we learned earlier this year, I think, and we all assumed, yeah, Tochein is part of Sidur de Pas, it's the way you make bread, you grind up the flour, and then you end up with, I'm sorry, you don't grind up flour. You grind up kernels to get yourself flour, and then you can make bread, but wait, according to Rashi, that all the malachos have to be in the construction of the Mishkan, so there's no, it's not a gingerbread house Mishkan. So where is the Tochein? Once again, the answer is grinding up the dyes to make, so that you could boil them up and get all the colors that we need. And finally, now we come back to our show, Malachas Lush, which we're about to begin. If Lush is kneading with a K and making dough, and we're not talking about dough because we're not talking about a gingerbread Mishkan, where is the kneading or the mushing into a, you know, taking a solid and a liquid and mushing them together to make them a mush? Where is that going to be in the construction of the Mishkan if it's not going to be in the preparation of the bread or the matzah? In the making of the dyes, of course. There we go. So this is something that the Egle Tal points out. The Egle Tal is one of the Achronim. I think it's the Sachet Shavu Rebbe. The Asachet Shavu Rebbe, if I remember correctly, is the Avnei Nezer. Is this the Avnei Nezer or the Avnei Nezer's son? I think it's the Asachet Shavu Rebbe, unless I'm getting confused. But the Eglei Tal points out, he's one of the famous, important achronim on Hilchos Shabbos, and he was like the first Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa, but it was not just Kilchasa, it was like very, it was one of the first Svarim that wasn't, there are two ways to write Svarim. There's one way to write a Sefer as a Perush on something. I mean, you have a Gemara or a Mishnah, and you give a running commentary. Daf Beis, you write your commentary on Daf Beis. Daf Gimel, you write your commentary on Daf Gimel. Daf Dal, you write your commentary on Daf Dalet. But there's a different genre entirely, which is you take a topic, and you pull the ideas from all of Rishas about this topic into this discussion of Lush. And then you talk about this Malacha. That's a newer kind of genre, a topical genre that is much newer, that wasn't, you know, when the Rishonim, they didn't too often, once in a while. With a rare exception, did they write Svarim on a topic. They either wrote a Perush, or they wrote Halacha books, like the Rambam and the Rif, but they didn't have the genre of writing it topically. The Eglei Tal is a topical discussion of Shabbos, so he talks about each Malacha, calling all the Gemaras and the sources for a given Malacha. So in his introduction to Lush, he asks, wait a second, where in the world will Lush occur in the building of the Mishkan? After all, if you hold like the other opinions, actually the Yerushalmi, that when it comes to baking, it's talking about the bread. When it comes to toching, grinding, it's talking about the flour for the bread. So certainly when we talk about kneading, it's talking about kneading the bread. Those are all things that are involved in the administration of the Mishkan. That's great if you'll learn like that Yerushalmi, but if you learn like the Bavli, which is the way we've been assuming, the way Rashi and our Gemara says that it has to be in the construction of the building, so where is there kneading? Where are you kneading with a K for the construction of the building? So to which he answers that wherever he brings a source to support what he's saying, he says it must be that when they make certain kinds of dyes, they have to create pastes, plural of paste. I said it fast a few times, doesn't pastes. So if you have to make a paste of that. You take the dye, you take the herbs, you crush them up. That's the tochen. Then you take this paste and you mix it with a liquid. And then you end up with something that you could somehow use more easily as a dye, or you could then boil it and make it into a dye. The exact chemical process I'm not so familiar with. That is as far as where the Lush occurred in the Mishkan. What comes out from this discussion is an incredible insight. When we think of Lush, of kneading dough, we think of dough and we think of food. What do we see from this point? From the very fact that he says the whole source for Lush is probably from dyes, you see clearly that Lush is not going to be limited to food items, to foodstuffs. What will apply to any household or commercial scenario where you're taking a solid, powder or solid, and a liquid and joining them together and making with them a mush, which, as I think I heard from one of my rabbeim in Karabi Avner, Rabbi Silver, that would be the best definition of Lush. Lush is mixing solid with liquid to create a mush. Clear? Mush is a very important technical halachic word. It's a Gemara Lush. So let's just think, where do we have in non-kitchen scenarios mixing liquids with solid or powders to create mushes? So if you're a dentist, then you might remember the last time you got sometimes they have fillings with like powders, and they mix powders with like a liquid, or bonding maybe. I think bonding, they do bonding like that? Take like a powder and a liquid, it drips.
Like the mold things
when they take molds of your mouth, certainly. When you make concrete or cement, when you pour concrete or cement or plaster, either for sculpting or for, you know, heavier construction. So you take the powder and concrete powder, and then you add water to it. That's why they have mixing trucks, because they mix the powder and the water. That's a mixing truck. And that would all be Lush. Any other scenarios that you could think of that would be mixing powders and liquids? What? If they would have powdered soap, I don't know if I've ever seen. Yeah? Okay. Medicines, yeah, certainly if medicines, 100%. Creams. There are certain kinds of creams that are made, they come to the pharmacist at least, as a powder, and the pharmacist has to mix a certain amount of water to that powder, and then it ends up as some kind of cream or some kind of viscous solution. Pouring water on sand, that is a good question. I'm scared to count on it because that might get into a different issue, which we're not going to discuss tonight. But I hear what you're saying. If you, for example, want to build a sandcastle in your backyard, so aside from if there would be bona issues or smoothing out issues, which I think we talked about, you're saying that even just there might be another issue of pouring the water on the sand, if sand were subject to leisha. That's a question we'll have to see soon. Any other applications? No? Okay. So then let's now focus on to things that are a little more common than, I know the women in Washington Heights are into pouring concrete, but for the less industrial among us, let's talk about some kitchen applications. I'm going to list off a bunch of questions. Some of these will be mutter, some of these will be aser, some of these might be chayev skila daraisa, some of them might be aser derabanan. I'm going to list off a bunch of scenarios that will relate to our question, and hopefully over the course of the next, not today, but the next few weeks, we will cover the following issues. So this way you'll have a taste of sort of knowing where we're going. Guacamole. For some reason, guacamole makes it into so many of our shiurim. Does anybody like guacamole with a little bit of a lemon juice? Okay, so can you put that lemon juice into your guacamole? Next, does anyone like charoses? So can you put wine into your charoses? That's also taking a liquid with a lot of powder. What?
Lemon juice doesn't really make it liquidy. It's just for its taste. I'm saying it's already mushy.
I'm not worried about the lemon juice. I'm worried about the guacamole, the avocado. It's becoming more of a paste. Okay, fine. We'll discuss all these things. The most common situation is adding mayonnaise to either egg or tuna to make egg salad or tuna salad or any other of those salads where you're sort of combining this viscous solution called mayonnaise and this solid called chopped egg or chopped tuna and creating a mush. Let's say you don't use very hot water. Could you make instant oatmeal on Shabbos? Obviously, if there's very hot water, there might be a bishul question. But maybe you'll say, oh, I use a kli shlishi. Or I don't use yad sled is but water, so can I make oatmeal for myself if a chunk gets burnt and I don't have anything to eat? Could we make instant oatmeal, avoiding the hot water issue? Exactly. More real for that exact question, just in a more common application, is baby cereal. Could you make rice cereal, oatmeal cereal, and all the other farina type of cereals for babies, which is nothing more than adding water to a powder? What about, you have mashed potatoes, adding ketchup to mashed potatoes? Who likes ketchup with mashed potatoes? Besides me. Okay, any of you have a little brother who likes smushing their cholent together? To like a mush, and then adding ketchup? What? Okay, so can you add your ketchup to shmush chant liquid? Shmush chant, whatever that is, and you're making a mush. Kool-Aid mixed into water. Well, that's a little bit more liquidy because you end up with Kool-Aid, but it's a powder and a liquid adding together to create Kool-Aid. If we take it a step further, what about adding the same kind of powder, but it's a Jell-O powder, an instant pudding powder? And you're going to make Jell-O or instant pudding. Again, assuming that we're not dealing with hot, we're not dealing with the bishul issues, is there just an iser, even if it's cold, of lush? Let's say you have salad dressings, and you want to put in certain kinds of spices. So you're going to be putting spices into your salad dressings. Is that going to constitute lush? Does anyone know what tiramisu is in the technical sense? What's tiramisu?
Like an Italian cream that you put on.
Okay, so let's leave out the Italian cream, thank you. But I think it would be important for you maybe to bring one in next week to, you know, so we could really understand the sugya properly. You know where I live, right? You know where, yeah, okay. So yeah, tiramisu is you soak ladyfingers in, I didn't realize it was espresso, okay. Fine, so you soak your ladyfingers, well that's taking a solid and taking a liquid and making a tiramisu mush. Exactly, actually that's good you tell me because I thought you soak it in wine or something, so. Okay, good. I'm looking forward. As I looked through the post, I also thought of something else that sometimes happens when you have little kids, especially like mine, and try to think, again, little brothers, little cousins, and there's these croutons, you know, those neon yellow nuclear croutons that stay forever and have probably been on the shelf in that kosher market wherever you live for like a good 3, 4, 5 years, and you put them into your soup, and like we put in, you know, a spoonful, two spoonfuls, and then you have a kid who says, no, I want more. And what do? They pour in like half the container, and you end up with a dough of chicken soup flavored crouton. So with that, well, that's liquid and solid, and you're like, I mean, I don't know if it's just the, I don't know if you have to stir it around or you made this dough already. Would that be a problem? So those are all kinds of questions that I hope we'll relate to over the course of the next few weeks. But we're not going to talk about it. I'm not going to ask for if you have any questions because I didn't say any halachas, and we'll hopefully see what the issues are. Yes or no, maybe. Aser, Daraisa, Darabanan, Lahachmir, Lahakel. That will be for the next, as we go. So let's begin. The number one question in the sugya of Lush is the following. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. What is the malacha? Is the malacha what I think most people assume, the act of kneading, getting your hands dirty and doing this motion? Boom. It's like, you'll know what I mean. Okay? That in dough is kneading with a K, that's the malacha. Or is the fact that I'm taking water or whatever other liquid and I have this powder or whatever other solid and I pour the water into the solid. Even before I start to knead it with my fingers, the fact that I poured it in itself constitutes the malacha of lush. That's the question. And if we look two places in Shas and Shabbos Daf Yud Ches as well as Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Hey, the Gemara brings a machlokas, which is which. And that's going to be very important for a lot of shailas, and I'll show you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if one person puts the flour, a person takes some flour, we don't have to say flour, because flour, you'll tell me, oh, flour is mukzel. We could talk about, you know, baby cereal. Baby cereal, puts it in a bowl, and walks away. Did they do anything wrong? Of course not. They just put some powdered food in a bowl. Another person comes along and pours some water into that bowl. Says the first opinion in this Gemara, Ha'acharon Chayav. The person that poured water into this bowl that had some powder in it is Chayav. What does the word Chayav mean in Maseches Shabbos? Chayav Daraisa. Why not Asur? Because Asur would, in the Maseches Shabbos, would always mean what? Asur only mide Rabbanan. The word chayev means three things. Anytime the word chayev is used in the context of Shabbos, in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, in the Shulchan Aruch, it means three things. If it's done on purpose with edim and a warning not to do it and the person does it anyway, that's skila. If a person does it on purpose, but there's no edim, there was no warning, then it's kares. If a person does it by mistake, then the person has to bring a karban chatas. Right? We're all going to be, that's why I believe that if you want to make a lot of money and you're a big you're a mammon, you should invest in cow commodities and sheep commodities, and the market is going to, sorry, demand is going to be very great, I think, when it will come time for us to be responsible for our shogegs. So that's the first opinion. The first opinion says that you're chayiv just for adding water to this little pile, this little bowl with, let's say, baby cereal in it. Comes, that's the malacha of Lash. Comes, that's Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Comes Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Yossi says, no, eino chayiv ad she yigabel, that shorish gimel bet lamed, ligvol is tanid with a K. You're not chayiv, just adding the water is not enough to make you chayiv. You're only going to be chayiv for Lash if you actually start kneading or mixing it into a, you know, it doesn't have to be kneading specifically, but mixing it in such a way that the water and the powder unifies and integrates and becomes one. That's the only time that a person will be chayiv. So what do we have? We have a machlokas tanaim. These are tanaim. Whether or not malacha of lush is just pouring the water, just putting them one with the other, or actually the act of combining them, of kneading them together. Now, even if you hold that you have to, you're only chayav midoraisa if you do the kneading, he will still, that's the Rabbi Yossi, the second opinion, he'll still agree that if you just pour one onto the other, that will still be asur, albeit the Rabbanan. And so everyone holds that it's asur to add water to powder. Question is, is it only asur the Rabbanan or even daraisa? And if it's only asur the Rabbanan, then you'll be chayav daraisa if you go ahead and start to knead. Now, how do we paskin? So, before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, I'll tell you what most Rishonim paskin like. Most Rishonim assume that what you probably assumed before you came, that kneading, that lush, is when you actually mix them together. You knead them with your knuckles. That's lush. That's how most Rishonim paskin. But there is one opinion, the Sefer HaTruma, one of the Rishonim. I tell you when he lived, but I don't know when he lived. Sefer HaTruma, that will be somebody's homework to tell us when the Sefer HaTruma lived. The Sefer HaTruma paskins like that first opinion, who holds that you're chayiv even if you just add water without mixing at all. So now we know how the Rishonim paskin. What do we expect to find in the Shulchan Aruch? Usually we expect the Shulchan Aruch to tell us to follow the majority of the Rishonim, in which case what will be aser? Only kneading. That will be that you're only chayiv if you knead. What does the Shulchan Aruch do? I'll tell you what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he's talking about some kind of animal food, so I don't have to get into the details of what kind of food the animals eat. Animal food, you're allowed to add wine, vinegar, water on Shabbos to this powder, but you're not allowed to mix it together. What is that paskening like? That the Isser is not there. You're allowed to add. You're just not allowed to mix it. Then he says, V'yesh omrim. And then those who say that you're not allowed to add the water. So the Shulchan Aruch brings both. Which happens a lot. The Shulchan Aruch a lot of times, very often, brings two opinions. So what do we do when the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions? Does that mean it's a suffix? So the way we usually deal with a situation when the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions is, usually when he says the halacha is X, v'yesh omrim Y, that usually means the following. It means that we really, 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 really passing like X, but since there are those who say Y, the second one, you should be machmir if you can for that Y. Let me say that again. If he says, stam v'acharkach yesh omrim, stam, and he just says the halacha is this, v'yesh omrim that. So the bottom line is this, is the first one. But we're machmir for that opinion in the Rishonim to also be machmir for the more stringent opinion for that second one. So if that's the case here, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? The Shulchan Aruch is paskin that me'ikur hadin, it is mutter to add water on Shabbos. It is mutter to just to combine water with a powder on Shabbos. The only thing that will be chayiv d'oraisa is if you actually need it. But Yesh Omrim, he's machmir for the Sefer HaTruma, who says that we shouldn't add the water. Therefore, Halacha L'maisa, what do we come out with? At least, even if Midaraisa, most opinions hold, I can just add water to the powder and leave it at that. But we try to be machmir to not even add water to a powder on Shabbos. That is Halacha L'maisa. Why does the Shulchan Aruch machmir for this against the majority of the Rishonim? Perhaps because the issue at hand is an Isser D'oraisa. What happens when we have a Safek, a Machlokas on an Isser D'oraisa? In general, what's our modus operandi? we have a suffik on an issa d'oraisa or a machlokas on an issa d'oraisa, usually we're noted to be machmir. So therefore, that's what the Chai Adam writes. The Chai Adam says, since this is a question, a machlokas tanaim, what is the issa d'oraisa of lush, whether it's only kneading or even if you just add the water, so the Shulchan Aruch says, really it's just the kneading, but we're machmir for this because it's a suffik on a d'oraisa, we're machmir also to not add liquid. Yeah, question. Okay. Yes, I think that's right. But even the opinion who says... Right, right. Halach l'mayis, so we're not even going to be able to add. But once you have something that's only darabanan, there's going to be a lot more flexibility in terms of doing it b'shinui, and for makom tzorach, and for babies. So once we get into the world, once we say something's only also darabanan, there's a lot more room to be lenient. But if we're... So if bottom line, we hold the issur is only going to be the kneading... And the other, and just adding water is only nisa d'rabbanan, according to the way most opinions hold. The Sefer HaTrumah, the Machmir opinion holds that even adding water is d'oraisa.
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch even still holds that it's d'rabbanan.
Yes, it's still asa d'rabbanan. Bottom line, it's asa even to add water. He's Machmir to consider d'oraisa, but really it's not.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, you made it. You understood correctly. That's the first point that I'd like to discuss in the halachas of lush. The next point I'd like to point out, until now we're talking about how do you make dough? You take flour and you add water. Anyone here go to Matt's Bakery? Ever? Oh, okay, fine. So, you take water and you add it to flour. What would happen if you have liquid in a bowl and you add the flour to that? Would that be the same thing? What? You get clumps until you mix it, of course. But if we assume, what?
You just have to add a lot of flour.
I guess it depends how much water you have. Okay, I'm just asking. Let's say again, normally we take water and add it to flour. I'm asking what would happen if we have the inverse, if we have flour on the bottom and water on top. So, that clearly will be no different than, I don't think there's a difference between water and flour and flour and water, which one is first, but there's something a little bit different. Let's say, I'm not dealing with flour at all. Let's say I'm going to take something that's, again, I don't know the physical properties of this, maybe you could help me. I do know what flaxseed is. Flaxseed is the stuff that I sometimes put in my smoothie. It looks like little dots, smaller than sesame seeds, right? That's flaxseed. So the Gemara talks about zera pishtan. Pishtan means flax, right? Zera means seeds. So zera pishtan, I assume... excuse me. I assume zera pishtan means flaxseed. Does anybody know if the flaxseed that we sprinkle on our... on our cereal or yogurts or put in our smoothies, is that crushed flaxseed? Or that's how the seed looks? I assume it's crushed flaxseed, right? A flaxseed is more like a sesame seed? Yeah? Is that how they do it in South Africa? Yeah? You gotta hear it too. Okay, so it's like a sesame seed, and then they crush it, and then they sell it to me to put in my smoothie. Got it. So let's say you have those sesame seeds. Now that's not a powder. It's like a seed of sort. It's bigger or smaller than a sesame seed?
It's about the same size.
About the same size? Okay. Says the Gemara, are you allowed to throw zera pishtan, seed of flax, into water? And it says that you're chayav. My taima, what's the reason? Because you did lisha. Let's think for a second. I take a bunch of picture sesame seeds or something of the light that's like sesame seeds, flax seeds, and I drop it into water. And I walk away. I never did this, but apparently the Gemara assumes that what's going to happen? They start absorbing the water, they become mushy, And if I come back an hour later, what am I going to see in this bowl? Some kind of solid, I won't say it's like, it's a mass, not a hard mass, but a soft, mushy mass of a big clump of what? A glob, a big glob. Now, I didn't do any mixing whatsoever. The Gemara says that that is chay of mita araisa. Now, we see from this something very important. Do you ever do anything in the kitchen that involves just pouring water on something, walking away, coming back 10 minutes later, an hour later, and there's a glob? The water has been absorbed. Usually it's some kind of small kernels, that usually like softish kernels that absorb, and has turned into a glob. Rice, I was thinking maybe, I'm not sure. Beans don't, they mamish, like turn to a glob, they just, they soften. Quinoa maybe? Okay, okay, fine, hot water. But again, if it's from a klisheni, it's not going to be an issue of bishel. Pashtas. Okay, so quinoa, I don't know if that's a blob. What about tabbouleh? I just know the way my wife makes tabbouleh. Those of you who have had tabbouleh in my house, they're not boiled, those tabbouleh kernels. It's called bulgur wheat. Try to spell bulgur. Anyone who knows how to spell bulgur, you get... Yeah? Okay, check, you'll see. There might be an H somewhere. It's a big machlokas, actually. There are probably two versions. So, I think we discussed this once also. So tabbouleh, which is bulgur wheat, is made, the way my wife makes it is, I think it's called parching. Is that the word? Something with a P. Pouring hot water on it and just leaving it. Is it called parching? There's a word. There's a kitchen word. So, takes hot water, pours it on it, closes it, and 10 minutes later, that tabbouleh is in its finished form. You didn't boil it. You didn't do anything else to it. It's not that it was pre. It was not pre-cooked like oatmeal packets. It's raw bulgur wheat, and that's how you do it. You just parch it or whatever it's called, scald it. Now, when you come back 10 minutes later after this process happens, so it ends up being like a, I don't know if it's one mass, because maybe it's like little particles. It's still, okay, I hear. Could be. So that was another thing I was thinking of. Now, by the way, because of that process, I don't know what bracha to make on tabbouleh. You see, it's a, let's assume that it's a wheat. It's a grain. But it's not a grain that's boiled, because it's not never in a kli rishon. It's never boiled up. It was never made into a dough, so it might not be mizonos. But it might not be hadama, because you did something to it. You poured hot water on it. So I think it's a big machlokas. Quinoa is a legume, but bulgur wheat is a wheat. So it's, if you take a grain, a wheat, and you do this funny thing to it that's not boiling it, but still not raw, if you'd eat raw wheat, that would be hadama. Raw wheat, that would be hadama. What?
Isn't that therefore?
And therefore?
And therefore, this shouldn't refer to...
I don't think it's going away from anything. It's just raw wheat. Okay. Is it raw or is it cooked? It's not cooked. It's not raw. It's in the middle. So if it would be raw, it would be hadama. If it's cooked, it would be mizonos, and it's somewhere in the middle. So we don't know what to do. So therefore, we try to only eat tabbouleh in the middle of a meal. or we eat less than a kazayas. But that's what we try to do. Unless you have a rabbi who you could ask and do whatever they say and then follow that, and life will be a lot easier. Excuse me. This is going to relate possibly. I wonder, I didn't see this in the postgame, but if we assume that you're taking this water, I'm sorry, you're taking this, which way do you do it? You took these flax seeds and you threw it into water and they soaked and they got soft and absorbed and turned into a mush, and that's chayav d'oraisa. Ladies and gentlemen, that sounds to me very much like what my kids do when we let them touch the crouton container themselves. They pour half the container into their one-third of an inch of soup, and they leave it, and 5 minutes later, lo and behold, what do you have? You have a mass of crouton mush. Is that an issur d'oraisa? I hope not, because that happens regularly. but again, let's just do the math. The Gemara says, Zara, you throw flax seeds into water, It's chayiv. That means chayiv d'oraisa. That's not a good thing if you're Jewish. Why? Because that's lisha. So I'm just, instead of pouring in zera pishtan, I'm pouring in croutons. Instead of water, it's soup, which is also water. It just sounds to me like that should be a problem. The only question is, maybe when the zera pishtan would, they'd really turn into like a mass. The croutons also sort of do. So I have a new tool in my arsenal of rationing the croutons to the kids. Don't take any more croutons, it's going to be lush, and you're going to have to give you skila. That'll be the new, my son Menachem just started learning Mishnayos. So when I was talking to him about the first Masechta that he wanted to do, not Brachos, which is the first Masechta, not the, like, you know, the Moed Masechtas that are the easier ones, Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, he wanted to do Sanhedrin. Why? Because it tells you how to give skila. So, you know, fourth grade boys have a fascination with murder. And we're in the middle of skila right now, and we're looking forward to Herig, Sreifa, and Chana coming up soon. Now, let's go to the next point in Hilchos Lash. The next point is the following. You remember we said a few minutes ago that there's machlokas whether the malacha d'oraisa is the kneading or even just adding water? Well, let's say I don't want to talk about adding water. Would we even prohibit or at least consider yuchayev if you add not water but something a little more viscous? Let me give you an example. Let's say you have some spices. Sugar, cinnamon, I don't know, let's get exotic, cumin and curry, and then you just squeeze some honey on it. So if you mush it all together to make some kind of paste, that would be like a powder with a liquid, that sounds like it might be lush. But I want to know if I just sort of squeezed it on top and let it drip down, so it's sitting on top. So we said before that first opinion says you're not allowed to add water to the flour. So here I'm adding not water, but I'm adding something that's a little more viscous than water. Would that be a problem? Or let's say I want to do the same thing with mayonnaise. What's a powder that you want to add mayonnaise on top of? Egg, chopped eggs. So in terms of making egg salad and mixing it all around, that we're going to talk about, probably won't get there tonight. If I just want to drop the mayonnaise, plop it down, plop, that it falls on top of the egg. Wait a second, isn't that first thing we talked about 20 minutes ago, that you add water, even without kneading? One opinion was that you have if you knead, and the first opinion was, if you just add water to flour, that should be a problem. So wait, if adding water to flour is, what about adding something that's a little more viscous than water to flour? And instead of the flour, let it be chopped egg, because that's a solid. So I'm going to add something a little more viscous than water, to hainu, that being mayonnaise, I'm going to drop the mayonnaise, plop, onto the top of the egg. Has there ever been anyone who's ever done such a thing? Yes, every single one of you has done that on Shabbos. You had chopped eggs, and you plopped some mayonnaise, and however you made your egg salad, fine, we'll talk about that soon, but did you just violate what we learned tonight, that one of the opinions, or the opinion that we are machmir for, the Sefer Truma, is not to add water to flour. And the equivalent of water to flour in this case would be the mayonnaise to the crushed egg. Here, the halacha is that it would be mutter. Because even if you assume that it is a problem, as we mentioned, this chumra to be machmer for the sefer atshumah who holds that you're not allowed to add, even just adding water to the flour is usur in itself, without any kneading, that's only going to be something like water that has the property of, what happens when you drop water onto flour? It doesn't just like plop on top. It, help me, give me a good word. It what?
Soaks in against
each other. Soaks in, that's not this.
It spreads around.
There has to be a more technical term for spread around. No, she said, I don't think the point is absorb. It like,
doesn't stay where you put it.
It gets around, right? It goes squiggle, squaggle, squiggle, zig, zag, zig. If you do that to mayonnaise, that doesn't happen. So therefore, even if we are machmir, that it's usher to add water, just dropping water on flour, but something that would be more viscous, like like mayonnaise, definitely, maybe even honey, that doesn't really intermingle is the word. Thank you. Thank you, my notes. If it doesn't truly mix or slash intermingle, like honey and mayonnaise, then it will not be problematic to drip it on top of the salad. So therefore, I can plop mayonnaise onto my egg, and I can drip my honey on top of this powder of cinnamon, cumin, and sugar, or whatever other spices I might be adding this to. This kula is the chiddush of a sefer called the Shvisas HaShabbos, which is, again, one of the achronim. It's not a contemporary sefer. Shvisas HaShabbos, we didn't really mention him in our series, but he's one of the important achronim on Halachas Shabbos, and that's the kula that he says. That again, even if we're machmir, even if we are going to avoid dripping just liquid onto salad, it's only a liquid that will intermingle, but a liquid that's viscous that will sort of stay put somewhat, like, and he specifically mentions dvash, right? Dvash av, maybe there are different kinds of dvash, but he specifically talks about thick honey, that will not be a problem just pouring it on. The only problem would be if I then mix it around, if I would have that dvash and I'd mix it into that cinnamon sugar mixture, that would definitely be lush. That would have to be avoided. The Shvisas HaShabbos. Okay. Before we continue, I just want to give one word of, make one introductory point that will enable us to understand coming weeks. When we're going to talk about certain kulas in Hilchos Lush, that will enable us to sort of, for example, make egg salad and tuna salad, which at least as of right now should be also, because I'm kneading, with a K, I'm kneading this semi-viscous solution called mayonnaise and this solid called egg or tuna. That's kneading, that should be an iser, perhaps doraisa, or something like that. What are the kulas? In order for us to get kulas, we always have to knock things down from a daraisa to drabana. Once things are drabana, there's much more flexibility. There's a lot more room to be makel if you do something with a shinui, for example. If there's a tzorech gadol, for example, or you combine the fact that it's with a shinui for a tzorech gadol on an iser drabana, you know, it's sort of like a game. Halachas Yoda is like a big game. You just have to be more knowledgeable to know that there are more things that you could just add to make things mutter. So the big greatest kedolim are the ones that know the most things to make things mutter. And the less you know, the less cool is that, and that's why you have to be more machmir. So if you want to be really makel, you have to be a big talmid chacham. So we should all be zochet to that. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kufnin Vav 156, says the following. It says that there's a certain scenario in the context of Lash, and it says there's a contradiction. The Gemara says, no contradiction. This case where it was Aser is talking about Blila Ava. This case that's Mutter is talking about a Blila Raka. What's the difference between Av and Rach? Av is thick, Rach is diluted. Thin, literally. Thin. But the point is that there's a difference between two kinds of batters. If something is a Blila Ava, is a thick, we'll call it a dough, that will be considered, to knead that would be considered nisa daraisa. If, however, one would be kneading, well, not really kneading, you're mixing it, something that's a liquidy kind of dough, we'll talk about what a liquidy kind of dough means in a moment, that will only be nisa drabanan, and therefore, once it's going to be drabanan, this blila raka, this thin, watery kind of dough, there will be a lot more room for kulas. What is watery dough? What is thick dough? So, if you've ever baked challah, that's thick dough. If you've baked cookies, that's thick dough. If you, however, make pancakes, and probably cake also in most cases, that's more battery. That's more like a batter. Battery in the adjectival sense as opposed to in the noun sense. So if something is going to be like a pancake batter, like a cake batter, that's going to be an issur d'rabbanan to mix together. If something is going to be a cookie dough or a challah dough, that will be an issur d'oraisa to mix together to knead. What's the definition of thick and thin? So I just said whether you call it a dough or a batter. That's what I said. But the Chazon Ish says the following. The definition of a batter is, says the Chazanish, Nira Diraka. When we say that it's diluted, that it's liquidy, Hainu, that is Shenishpach Venirok. Nishpach, it is pourable, Venirok, and pourable. Great. Works better in Hebrew, I guess. So if something is pourable, then it is considered a liquid. But it's not pourable like water, because then it would be like Kool-Aid. And Kool-Aid, says the Chazon Ish, where you're adding powder to water, but there's so much water and so little powder that it doesn't make a paste. It makes a complete, it's a complete liquid. It was a liquid before, it's a liquid now that you add the powder. That will not be a problem of lush, because it's considered entirely liquid. It's just dirty liquid. It used to be clear water, now it's red water. So it's just dirty water, dirty liquid. Dirty liquid is not called lush. If, however, it becomes thicker, then it will be a batter. It has a certain consistency, thickness, that would be a batter, that would be asid rabbanan. And if it's not pourable, for example, like a cookie dough, the reason why it stays as a cookie and not doesn't turn into a pancake is because it is, even though I know you put the margarine in, it does spread a little bit, I do know that. That's because it is thick and it's not pourable, so it will somewhat maintain its shape even if you plop it down. Fine. Any questions about the definition of thick and thin? Great. Let's finish off with another point, which will lead to three halacha lemaises that could come up, depending on if you go to Trader Joe's or not. Let's start as follows. This is more common in Eretz Yisrael. It's less common in America. We do have such a thing, or something similar. If you come to my house for Shabbos, you know, sometimes my wife makes baked eggplant with like a tchina on top, a tchina sauce on top. So, how do you make tchina? The way you make tchina is you buy this powdered sesame seed, right? Tchina sesame seed. You buy this powdered sesame seed, and then you add water, oil, maybe a touch of lemon juice or something like that. So that would be a great example of lush, right? You have a powder, and you add a liquid, and adding it together itself might be problematic. Certainly the mixing it together will definitely be problematic. And you come out with this thick consistency. It's liquid, so it's nevertheless a thick consistency called what we, you and I, call tahina, that we put on our shawarmas and our falafels. So that's going to be usher to do. What about the following? What happens if I had tchina made before Shabbos? I put it in the fridge. I take it out on Friday night or Shabbos lunch, and I see that it was a little too thick. I didn't put in enough water or enough oil, and it's too thick. It's more like a paste than a sauce. So am I going to be permitted on Shabbos to add more water or add more oil, and even to mix it around? So both could be problematic. Adding water could be aser, according to Sefer Truma. Mixing around could be aser, even according to Shulchan Aruch. Is that going to be a problem to lessen, to make the consistency more loose? Well, points out, whoever it is, don't remember who it is, do you think it's going to be mutter or aser? Again, case is clear. You didn't, God forbid, make tchina on Shabbos. You had tchina before Shabbos. You mix the water with oil before the water and oil with the powder before Shabbos. It's in the fridge. You want to make it. You want to add some water or add some oil. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Why?
It's already the process was already done.
You're suggesting that once the process is done, you can't do it again. Like ein bishul achar bishul, ein lash achar lash. You're wrong. good thinking, but I don't know if that would be correct. No, this is a blila raka. This is at least an asid rabbanan. It's still, it's not like water. It's not like Kool-Aid. It's like tchina. I think it's quite constructive. You're getting to what you want. You don't like it the way it is, and you make it the way you do want it. you're going in a good direction. Thank you. This is the exact opposite of lush. What's the point of lush? Taking a solid and a liquid, making this powder into a, and making this liquid into a gook. And what are you doing by adding more liquid? You're ungookerizing it. I think it's the proper way to say it. You're degookerizing it. You're deglobberizing. You're declumperizing. You're degookerizing. You're making it less of a clump, of a glob, of a mush. You're demushing. Thank you. That's the word. Demushing. And that's the exact opposite of lush, and therefore it should be permitted. So when you water something down, you're not thickening. You're watering it down. That should be permitted. Keep in mind, this is assuming that it was properly, it was completely mixed. It's not like it wasn't really mixed before Shabbos. So as you'll add water, but then you're like, as you mix it, you're making it into, you're kneading it properly. We're talking if something was properly, you know, is smoothly and uniformly mixed up before mixed and kneaded, and it has a uniform consistency before Shabbos, and now you're just watering it down, that will be permitted in terms of tchina. If that's the case, let's talk about dough. If, I don't know why you have this, but you have dough. You're making, I don't know, cookie and dough ice cream. Cookie dough ice cream or something. So you have cookie dough. Otherwise, dough should be muktzah, that's why. So you have cookie dough. And you realize that your cookie dough is too thick. You want to add liquid to the cookie dough. And you're going to knead it in. So if it's a properly kneaded consistency, you just want it looser, it will be permitted l'chatchila to add water or whatever other liquids you add to your cookie dough to loosen the consistency, to make the consistency thinner. That will be mutter on Shabbos. With that in mind, we come back to Trader Joe's. So my wife comes back from Trader Joe's yesterday, and she has this organic peanut butter. And I gave her this look like, don't you dare try that on me, sweetheart. I go with Skippy or Jif, right? None of this, you know, Trader Joe's organic peanut butter, not in a million years. She said, don't worry, it's for me. I said, you can do it if it's for you. Gesunte Hayt. So what is it? It's like, you know, there's the peanuts over here, and then the cream is there, and then the oil's on top, and that somehow makes it healthy. Don't understand. So the shaila is, meaning, so when I buy Skippy, they do everything for me. They mix it for me in a way that it stays like that. But if you spend more money to buy organic, then you get to mix the oil back in yourself. It's not like you're not going to, no one's actually pouring the oil off because oil's not healthy. No, they just mix it in yourself, then you think you're eating healthy because you paid more for it. It works. It really works. They make a lot of money like this. So are you allowed to mix in that oil to the peanut? You all know what I'm talking about because you probably do this, right? I'm not even going to ask to raise the hand. So can you mix the oil in to make it smooth, to make it an even consistency? Well, based on what we just said, what are you doing? Are you making a glob or are you deglobbing it? The answer is that you're loosening the consistency of the peanut butter by mixing in this oil that's sort of perched on top. You're loosening the consistency, thinning the consistency, and therefore it will be mutter to mix that. I mean, there might be an issue about the shakta to eat it. That's a different issue. But to mix the oil into the peanut butter will be mutter because you're loosening, thinning the consistency of the peanut butter. Unless sometimes you have, if it ever happens, if it's like really old and sitting in your cabinet for a long time, sometimes the peanut butter itself, without the oil, gets a little crispy or like brittle or dry. Then that might be real lush because you have like a dryish, powdery consistency that you're going to add the oil to, mix the oil with, that's real lush. But if there is a regular peanut butter consistency, but now you're just thinning it with more of a liquid, that will be permitted. Let's finish with that point. I just want to, I guess, conclude with a quick machshava. First of all, thank you all for, you know, starting the summer season together. Be'ezus Hashem, Shabbos afternoon, I'm thinking maybe we're going to have a Pirkei Avos series. So at least this Shabbos, I hope to give a Pirkei Avos shiur at 6 o'clock here. 6 o'clock or 6:15? Let's assume 6 o'clock will be a Pirkei Avos shiur here. I believe Mincha will be 6:45. No, let's say, yeah, 6 o'clock will be a Pirkei Avos shir here. 6:45, I believe, will be Mincha. Worst comes to worst, Mincha will be at 7, and I'll speak for a few more minutes. But let's assume there'll be a 6 o'clock Pirkei Avos shir here. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to tell people about it. It's a long Shabbos afternoon. You're welcome to join. And just, you know, a quick thought about the concept of, you know, the fact that we come together to learn on Monday nights. There's an unusual line in the Gemara that says the following. The Gemara says that the world is kayam on two things. I don't remember the second, but one of them is Kedusha Desidra. What's Kedusha Desidra? It's the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh that we say in Uvalitziyam. The world is kayam, the world is omeid, on that Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh that we recite in Uvalitziyam. Now, I have nothing against saying Uvalitziyam. I have nothing against saying Kadosh, 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 but why, of the entire tefillah, is Uvalitziyam, the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh of the Uvalitziyam, why is that what the world is omeid on? Rashi explains that what happens in the Kadosh Kadosh in Uvalitziyam. Well, you might have noticed that there's something very unusual about that first paragraph of Uvalitziyam, because we say Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh, and what do we say right after that?
Aramaic.
Exactly. We say the translation. Says Rashi, what's happening when you're saying a pasuk in Hebrew with Aramaic translation? You're learning Torah. Right, now, if you live in Babel. I mean, if nowadays we should do it in English. But in Babel, when this was instituted, like where they wrote the Gemara, they spoke Aramaic, the Gemara is in Aramaic. So you have a Pasuk, and then the whole community says a Pasuk together. And they say, the way of Valtzim is said in Shul, it's in responsibly. The Chazal says the Pasuk, everyone repeats the Pasuk, and with the Aramaic translation, says Rashi, that's Talmud Torah de Rabbim. There's an institution, it's everybody in the entire group, in the entire Shul is learning a Pasuk, and what that pasuk means. That's Talmud Torah Derabim. That means after we finish Shemona Esrei, so you finish Tefillah, the real Tefillah, on your way to work, before you leave for the day, what did Chazal inject into the Tefillah itself, into the, you know, going to Shul experience, that the whole community should be learning a little bit of Torah together. And that's what the Gemara means, that the world is Kayam on Kedusha Desidra. The world is standing on the Talmud Torah Derabim. It's not just Talmud Torah, every person learning on their own, but the fact that people come together to learn together. That's something that the Gemara says the world is omid on, the world is kayam on. So I just want to wish you all yashar koach and thank you for helping me be a part of this Monday night series so that we could keep the world standing. It's always good to feel good about what you're doing and to know that we're not only learning Torah, but we're keeping the world alive with our learning Torah, and not just learning Torah, but learning Torah together as a community. So yashar koach and look forward to seeing you next Monday night, God willing. Well, that's it.